Welcome to all the committee members, media, the executive management of the SABC, and some board members. This is the first day of the inquiry into the affairs of the South African Broadcasting Corporation and the functioning of the board. In layperson's language, we are here to assess the status of the board and to see whether it is able to discharge its statutory fiduciary responsibilities. I think yesterday we had a discussion as members from different political parties, and at least officially on record we've got that 8 out of the 12 members have now resigned. We are aware of the fact that some of them will still serve for a period of 3 months from the date of their resignation. We've also noted that the chairperson of the board has resigned but remains a member of the board, and the deputy chairperson has resigned. I think as a portfolio committee we are extremely concerned at the lack of effective corporate governance at the SABC. It is with that in mind that we had taken a decision yesterday to institute an inquiry. I am aware that we have given short notice to the board members. A number of them called to say that it's less than 24 hours notice. Are we being fair? Are we giving them a fair opportunity? I think from the committee side, I just want to clarify something. Today was a scheduled day for the meeting of the SABC to present its strategic plan and its budget. From our records, and I've checked with the committee secretary, that notice was issued on the 9th of June. And I have got confirmation from the management that they had received that notice, and if I'm correct, they had circulated to members of the board. Although some members of the board have indicated to me that they received no such notification at all. But officially on the record, I want to say that our invitation went out on the 9th of June and there's confirmation. So this was a scheduled meeting where members of the board and the executive management had to be here in any event. Of course, we amended the agenda yesterday to indicate that we also want to start proceeding with the public inquiry. So the view that has come through from some board members that they were not informed at all about the original meeting, that's really, as far as we are concerned, an internal matter. It's a matter of internal communication between the executive management, the company secretary, and members of the board. I don't think we can be held responsible if you had not received your notification. But we are grateful that at least two members of the board are present, Ms. Nadia Bulbulia and Professor Alison Gilwell. Thank you very much. I know that you've really tried hard. You did everything to get here. You boarded a flight called Chewing Gum and you got here because mango was full. So thank you very much for that, for making every effort and really being present. I have received apologies on behalf of Mr. Ashwin Flickenty, he is out of the country. Mr. Gloria Cerobi, she's out of the country. Mr. Jackie Kumalo, who is ill at the moment, he says he's knocked out with about the flu. Ms. Kanye Nkonza has indicated that she's unable to attend because of prior commitment, but she's quite willing to attend the hearing at some point in the near future. Whenever we reconvene, she will make herself available. And we've also just received a letter a little while ago from Ms. Christine Kunja indicating that she's unable to attend, but she's quite willing to come in sometime next week. And she's suggesting next week, Wednesday or Thursday, she would be quite willing to make herself available. So on the record, I've only received 5 apologies and 2 members are here. We haven't received any notice from Desmond Golden, from Fatima Lagardin, Francis Lakula. Who else have I left out? Andile Ngeki, we haven't received any correspondence or notification from those 4 persons. I just consulted with my colleagues and members of the opposition. We feel that we want to proceed with the inquiry, even though all the board members are not here. And once we've exhausted the engagement, the committee might well decide to adjourn and then reconvene at a suitable time next week. But we want to start the proceedings. So we want to make it as informal as possible. It's not meant to be a legal kind of process. But it is on record. I just want to check who's the gentleman in charge of the recordings, because we must have the thing recorded so that we have the documents and the information necessary. Between yesterday and today, I have issued to members various documents. A full copy of the Broadcasting Act and the amendment, I think, has been circulated to all the political parties. We've also circulated the articles of association. We've tried to get hold of the shareholders' compact. We were unable to get it to the department immediately, but they have promised to send it to us, and we will circulate it. I've also received a report from the Department of Communication. It's a Deloitte & Touche independent assessment of corporate governance at the board, of the board and at the SABC. That is dated 19th of January. Both the minister and the department has got no objection to us making this a public document. I'm told it had already leaked to the media some time ago. But I want to put it on record because I think it has a bearing on our deliberations and the matters before the committee right now. We also received a letter from the Save Our SABC Coalition, a two-page expressing their views. I think that has also been circulated. And I just received a joint submission by the three unions of the SABC, at Bamau, CW, and Mwasa. I think the members have got copies of this document as well. Yes or no? Yes. Patricia? No. All right. We'll get you a copy. So those are the documents that we've received from interested members of the public and interested organizations or stakeholders. We don't want to invite them at this stage to deliberate. I've also had a request from the department, signal from the Department of Communication that should we deem it necessary, they are quite willing to appear before the inquiry because they do represent the shareholder and are responsible for the administrative interaction between the SABC and the department. And they are quite willing to appear before the committee to answer questions or to make an input on the financial situation and those things that are relevant to the Articles of Association in terms of the responsibilities. So with those few introductory comments, I'm going to throw it open. I wonder if there's any comments or views from members of the committee at this stage before we ask either Professor Hillwell or Nadia to respond to our short correspondence to them. Mr. Kulwani.
Maybe starting by appreciating the attendance of the board members of the SABC who are here and also the management. We appreciate their efforts to come before the portfolio committee. But the second issue, we have raised the issue of the DOC coming to the committee to make the presentation in terms of their interaction with the SABC and their responses thereof from the SABC in relation to those matters which have been raised by the department. I would like on that score to move that if you can make sure through your administrative processes that indeed the OC do come here Tuesday next week, possible whatever day will be sitting, so that we also get their views around these issues of the SABC. But having said that, I think it will be very important. Those who have read the take time today, there is an article which is there talking about this matter which we are dealing with here as a committee by two members of the board who unfortunately one has apologized and the other one has not made any indication why she's not here. And the article seems to suggest a lot of things in relation to the process which you said you want to embark at. Among other things, the article try to say this process which are embarking on is nothing to do with the actual issues which you are addressing. but it seeks to settle the political score within the ANC post the Polokwane conference. Now, Chair, it further says the Postal Committee, when the SABC board were here around the April, we didn't have any interest to listen to their budget and their strategy, except to take a negative stance against the board. Now, Chair, I wanted to make sure that we put those matters on record. Because as far as I'm concerned, Chair, when the SAPC came here, already there was the information in the decade of the document. In the SAPC, a memo from the chairperson, it was damning report in relation to other board members in relation to the GC, the group CEO. Now, as the portfolio committee, we said, it will be a futile exercise, Chair, to firstly engage on sensitive document, whereas we've got a board which seems to be hell-bent in terms of leaking information. We seek answers to SABC board on that day. They could not respond on that particular matter, and they promised indeed that they would go back and investigate and come back to the committee. Now, Chair, whatever process has unfolded there, but as far as I'm concerned, we don't have a conclusion by the board on the leakage of that particular document which will leak that particular thing. So that, Chair, this thing which says, Chair, we didn't have an interest on the board, then we said, Chair, if you've got a board which leak memos, what more about the sensitive information of SABC? Because SABC is also in a competitive environment. It's not just participating somewhere there is no competition. Now we're concerned as a committee in relation to those leakages and so on. That, as far as I remember, was the reason which we end up taking the decision which we took, Chair. But again, Chair, I'm happy, Chair, because we have presented the document from Deloitte & Touche, an independent firm, which have done some work in the SABC. I've just took my time, few minutes, just to go through that document as quickly as I can. I wonder how Polokwane resolution has anything to do with what is contained in this Deloitte & Touche report. As it's been alleged on the letter that he was driven by political ambition, we can't think he was bougie, which has followed orders in terms of doing our work and so on. Now, I wanted to deal with that particular matter, so that we remove that perspective, that perception from the public. That, Chair, we are here dealing with this process after members of the board have resigned, they've given reason, including themselves, those who have the writers or the authors of that article in the Cape Town. Sir, I felt that we need to deal with that particular matter so that we are clear, Chair, as we go forward around this process. Again, Chair, the issue has been told that we avoid to follow the one process of filling the post or the vacancies in the SABC. We choose to use another avenue. I think both avenues are open for this portfolio committee to use. There is neither this or that, Chair. Depending on the issues at stake and how we view the matters, Chair, we'll choose independently which route we need to follow as a portfolio committee. Not necessarily because of other things which that article is to raise, Chair. I wanted to raise that, Chair, as one matter so that we are clear on the particular matter. The second issue, Chair, is that whilst we are moving towards this meeting, Chair, there are some reports which seek to put us in a very difficult position as a country and also as in terms of the operation of the SABC. We are hearing the news that the CMA has already awarded the certificate, which gives the SABC union their right to exercise their right to strike. Now, Chair, I'm raising that matter, Chair, so that to make sure, Chair, that we were just going to request those in the SABC who are busy with these negotiations to make sure that they do whatever they can to avert this action in a manner, comrades, which is not in a manner which is not going to compromise the issues we talked about yesterday. That at the point when we are having the Confederation Cup, the 2010 FIFA World Cup is coming next year. So we want to urge those who are responsible in the SABC to make sure that they avert this action, the manner as they must do whatever it takes to ensure that they avert this action. and also said to appeal to the minister where it's possible to intervene so that the whole matter has been averted. We are not saying the minister must go and intervene on the affairs of the SSPC. We understand the corporate governance issues around this particular matter, but we are saying we cannot just look, comrade chair, watch as the situation unfolds as it's happening now. So, chair, those are our appeals from our side as an opening issue around this particular matter. But coming back to the issues at hand, chair, we fully move, chair, as we've indicated, that indeed we must start with the inquiry. But we must be able also, chair, to have some time to give those who have not been able to come today to be able to echo their views so that, comrade, chair, we took everyone on board around this particular process so that as we finally take a decision as a portfolio committee, in either way, it's a process which indeed is fair in terms of processes and indeed in terms of the consideration of the issues which might have been raised through that particular process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. May I just clarify, I did say earlier on that this is an informal process, but it's informal in the way in which we're conducting it, but it's a legal formal process. I think you must understand that. It's not a court of law, but it's a legal process because it will have legal consequences. But the manner in which we want to conduct the hearing is an informal way so that people's ideas are comfortable. I thought I just need to clarify that. Any other comments from political parties before we ask the members of the board to start this morning? General Olamisa?
The chairperson and honorable members, from the looks of things, the SABC board has right from the start never had a good relationship with this committee. Even before the appointment by the former president, Becky, the board's integrity had been questioned. Yes, there were campaigns emanating from this committee to oust the board, resulting, as you will know, in a vote of confidence against them. A parliamentary action that had not even catered for in law. This process culminated in the amendment of the law to accommodate such a step as a precursor to the removal of the board. So when we discuss the SABC crisis and related issues, we need to know whether these resignations have been precipitated by this campaign against them, or whether it is true that the board is guilty of mismanagement and squandering money. Finally, in the same vein, I must thank the board for listening to the views of other political parties which were presented to you in the run-up to the last election. For the first time, we felt that the SABC attempted a fairer, more equitable coverage of the election campaign, even providing for the first time ever live coverage of political events other than that of the ruling party alone. However, since the elections, we feel that the SABC has regressed again, with only one party dominating the SABC broadcast. I guess, therefore, here that all of us who benefited from your decision to give more extensive coverage, especially live, outside broadcast, cannot now deny that this was an expensive exercise for you, which also cost the SABC in terms of lost advertisement revenue. We are, as political parties, partly responsible for the escalation of SABC expenditure and a reduction in its revenue. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, anybody else? All right, then if Ishesi Basinski.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I would like to respond to what Honorable General Wolumisa has said. I think, Chairperson, I don't agree with the first statement that says it looks like this portfolio committee, it has never had a good relationship with the SABC. I took it, Chairperson, he is making allegations. And I think, Chairperson, this portfolio committee, it has a good relationship with the SABC. A good relationship in such a way, it's not a person-to-person relationship. It is about the operation of ABC and the operation of the portfolio committee. So we have a duty as this committee to do our oversight to the SABC. So I think, Honorable Member, your statement is unfounded. Secondly, Chair, I just want also the Honorable Olomisa, he is saying that it's good to thank the SABC to the good work that they have done during election. Also, I just want to dispel this notion that says whatever is happening to SABC, it's because the ANC has manipulated. It has caused the SABC to be where it is in terms of finances. That's for me, that's a wrong statement, Chairperson. And I think ANC...
Chairperson, on a point of order, protection. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. You were listening at the time.
Yeah.
Can you put the things correct here? Otherwise, I'll have a right to respond to that.
No, member, I think that's, what I want to avoid is now a dialogue between the political parties. We are here to engage with members of the board. And I've allowed a bit of leeway, but I think let's address ourselves. This is an inquiry not into our own work here, into the members of the board and the functioning of the corporation. So if we can limit ourselves to that particular aspect, it will help us.
Yes, Chair, let me stop there.
Ms. Killian?
Just wanted to make sure, you indicated that we will be conducting an informal process, but everything is strictly according, because this is a formal inquiry. May I just determine the following, and that is, were members of the board who were invited, were they given just an indication of what exactly we were going to inquire into, firstly? Secondly, were they also informed that they had the right to legal representation? The reason for my asking that is just to make sure that we follow due process in the minutest detail, because although the Act does not describe that, obviously natural law determines that due process also demands an opportunity for everybody to defend their own position. Thank you.
The correspondent clearly explains that this is a public inquiry in terms of Section 15 of the Act, and we want to assess the competence of the board in carrying out its responsibilities. But it did not explicitly say that they are entitled to legal representation. So they are here as board members, as individual members of the board, If they choose to bring a legal representative, it's not a problem with that. I think it's fine. But we have not specifically stated that they should or they shouldn't. Mr. Manamela?
Yeah, I think otherwise we should have the right to remain silent and everything else, and it's not going to assist us. But I'm quite concerned with the spirit of the letter in the Cape Times of today, and I can sense that there's somewhat of an attempt to pursue the issues raised in this article. The first thing is that this is, we're complying with the process as indicated in the act as amended. This is the hearing. So, the indication in the article that we're trying to, basically do away with the board, whatever means, I think it's basically unfounded. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that to suggest that the legislation that was put in place to allow for a process for the removal of the board, didn't follow proper processes. I think that's highly unfounded. It doesn't have to be cabinet. It doesn't have to be the minister who initiate legislation. And I think it would have been wiser for the two authors of that article to check the constitution. The parliament can initiate, before having rushed to the Cape Town. But even beyond that, the suggestion that the removal of the board, the basis is the political battles within the ruling party. There are no more battles within the ruling party. The people who are battling have left, so we fine, we sorted. But I think the issue here, she had gone to consult, so we talking a different language now. But I think what I also wanted to raise is that if at all there was an intention, general, to remove the board even before it was appointed, I think all these things that we've been hearing in the public, the board willingly rushed into, that cave, unassisted, with all of these things that we're even talking about yesterday and some of the things that we'll later find out during the hearing. So I think whether somebody wanted to remove the board or not, it's neither here nor there, because, you've got judgments from the, Supreme Court of Appeal. You've got independent forensic audit, which has got nothing to do with what the ruling party seeks to achieve. You've got a lot of internal documents that show that, not only in terms of the representation, but in terms of what the board had engaged itself into. So leave the politics out of it. The operations, what the board was supposed to do, its mandate, that it has dismally failed. So, and that's what we're going to establish throughout this process. So you can argue, as is argued here in the Cape Times, of the ANC or a faction of the ANC wanted to remove the board and all of that. I don't think that helps. But the other thing that I want to mention is that, irrespective of short notice, if the members of the board, whether they're serving notice or not, if they were serious about the fact that there's a crisis at the SABC, they wouldn't have gone wherever they've gone, overseas or whatever. And I'm aware that we're taking into consideration and accepting their apologies. But if they know, and if they are serious about resolving the crisis, one of these documents speaks about, the board operating almost permanently on a crisis mode. If they know that there are problems which need to be resolved and that they need to assist us here to resolve that problem, they would have cancelled whatever, appointments they've had and come here to assist, to show that they're taking their responsibilities seriously. I grudgingly agree that we need to continue later to give all of them an opportunity to be heard, but it shows that they are not serious about their responsibilities, and I think that needs to be mentioned. Of course, as we acknowledge those who managed to come and attend, whatever the notice was.
Members, can I just appeal that, look, let's not respond to the Cape Times article. When Ms. Kunta comes and Ms. Lagardin come here, we will engage with them. And if they don't want to come, then they'll be making a statement to that effect in any event. So let's hold the discussion on the State Plans article. There are two people here, and I think we want to engage and discuss with them. I'm going to ask Ms. Killian and then Reverend Zondi and then Vicky van der Velk. From there, I want to get on with the members then.
Chairperson, I just wanted to say that I believe that there are unnecessary sensitivities, and I do believe that we should just talk those aside. People have expressed their views on a number of occasions in through various media. I think we should accept that. We have a problem. We have to address it, and I think let's just get down to doing it. And the fact that you have mentioned that all of them said that they have no problem, they will appear before the committee, that is fine. Just as a matter of interest, for some of us, this is the first time that we are engaging, and we would have engaged with the SABC on the budget in any case. That is why this date was set aside. Was it natural always for the entire board to be present during deliberations on the budget, or is it an exceptional position? If I can just get clarity on that, then we know. Because some assertions are, you know, and some sort of allegations are made, and I don't think it's quite fair to make those in the absence of board members who could not attend today's sitting. So I just believe it's not in the interest of us conducting our business as a portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, can I quickly just respond to that? In previous times, the executive management would normally come with the chairperson of the board and whoever else was available. But the last committee, last year, felt very strongly that all board members must appear before the committee because they represent, in a sense, the accounting officer. And if we didn't want just the chairperson to come, we wanted a range of views from the board. So that became the norm last year. But I also want to state that, you know, we mustn't make the mistake of thinking the portfolio committee of last year is the same as the portfolio committee of this year. This is a new entity. It's a new parliament. We've got a new mandate, and many of the members are new here. And I think, you know, we should keep that in mind, that we're really dealing with a new portfolio committee that's meeting for the first time with this board. Of course, there's a history, but we're not responsible for the history at this stage as a committee. We must draw that distinction. Reverend Zondi?
Chairperson, while I appreciate the fact that you gave up as political parties to make some preliminary remarks before we get into the objectives of today's meeting, I think that I want to reiterate what you are saying. We should not be waylaid by other outside noises. We've called at very short notice. We've invited distinguished members of the board to come here so that an inquiry in terms of Section 15A of the Act could be conducted. I would appeal that let's get on with that process so that we do not begin to get to conclusions even before we know what went on within the board, because we don't know. Until board members tell us where within that board, what happened, what led to this present fallout state, we cannot jump into conclusions. I would appeal with you, Chairperson, to let the process go on.
Thank you very much, Mr. Van der
Berg. Chairperson, that's exactly what I want to do. Can I ask the first question? We're in this committee for more than nearly 35 minutes, and we haven't asked a question to the people who are visiting us. Can I proceed, sir? I just want to know, when you study literature or something like that, there's always a leitmotif that starts things and have a great influence in the rest of the play. So I just want to know from the board, what was that leitmotif that sparked the disaster in the SABC? I wonder why are you laughing at me? Sorry. But what was that moment? And when did that moment appear? Was it friction between the board members? Was it friction between the executive and the board members. It seems to for me that the board members and the executive, and this is just a statement, we're not getting along with each other at the SABC. And there must be a certain point where you can see things are going wrong now. This 800 million rand that the SABC is in debt now, doesn't sort of one Monday morning when you get up, you've got a bill of 800 million rand against you. Doesn't work like that. A marriage deteriorates not in 5 minutes. It takes a long time. Over a period, things are starting to deteriorate. And I want just, if I can just get one answer today, I will be satisfied. When was it, and can they identify that specific spark or light motif moment in this whole drama? I just want to hear that from the board. I think if they're honest, there will be a moment like that where they realize things are going in the wrong direction now.
Then, you know, your wife catches you with another woman in bed in 5 minutes.
Sorry, to I don't know who was in bed with you.
I've got hands.
Sam, maybe before you continue, sir, maybe it's because we carried away, as the honorable member is saying. But said the board, they have not even said a word. You gave us as parties to say something before we start the inquiry, but the board you wanted to give them an opportunity, and we end up not giving them that opportunity itself too.
Do you want to come in, Mr. Langa? Because I think there is now this request that we proceed. But do you still want to speak? Because I want to give them a chance.
I was concerned about the procedure of this meeting.
Okay, but Advocate Zanga?
This is an inquiry in terms of Section 15, which means that it's an inquiry conducted by us as a committee. That's what the Act says. And the Act says we must do this inquiry to see whether we should dismiss the board on one of three grounds. Very clearly, the fiduciary duties and so on. And I think that's what we should be doing. We should be engaging the board on all three of those issues that we feel they've done wrong or not, and they should be able to respond. Now, unfortunately, we've had to do this thing in a hurry. We agreed yesterday this is in a hurry, but we also agreed as a committee that at least we can start asking questions about certain things, get the information, get documents in the process. Hopefully, at sometime next week, we'll have everyone on board, and then we can hear all these views. So I don't think it's correct to say that anyone has come and given input. It's an inquiry that we have to conduct in our spirit. Obviously, if we ask them to give us inputs on certain aspects, how do you do this, how do you do that, it's for our information's sake. And I think we should continue like that. It may be that after today, we as a committee want to sit down and re-look the way we're conducting this inquiry. But usually the way we do it in Parliament is the whole committee that participates. It's not in the form of a legal process where one person is appointed to ask questions and so on, so on, so on. We can look at that maybe if we want to do later. I think what I thought we agreed to yesterday is to start the inquiry and to start getting certain information we need. The things that Mr. Van der Berg is asking, for example, some of the things that Mr. Manamela and Mr. Kowana were asking, even if they were giving inputs, there are questions involved in those. And I think that's what we need to put to the board. And I really wanted to start raising a whole lot of issues, if I can, for them to answer or anyone else in the SA, so we can put on record exactly how this structure works so that we can later on make decisions on what we've got on record. Really out on what we think. And I would like to ask, to hold, let them just respond to Mr. Van der Berg and some of the issues that have emerged. Let's get started with that, and I'll give you a chance.
Okay,
no problem.
Okay. Over to you, Professor, and to Nadia.
Chairperson of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to address you and the honourable members. Just in terms of the discussion that has gone on now, and with reference to your letter, which we only received very late yesterday, and which we were not expecting to be here, we had not received notification, over and above which I think coming here to take questions on the budget is very different process of preparation to a Section 15A hearing. The letter does not make it clear the terms under which this inquiry is being held. The broad legal parameters are there, but there are no specifics with which to prepare a response to this committee. The letter requests us to appear, and as we are county parliament, I'm here, to inquire into the legal status of the board with its current membership. I'm as keen as everybody else to see a resolution to the crisis in the public broadcaster. It has been left swinging in the wind far too long. It is hemorrhaging from every pore. It is unable to fulfill its most basic duties. I would like to explain, and as I said, I would, why I have not resigned, not why I'm not resigning, as has been reported. I have not resigned because of the fiduciary responsibilities that I believe I have, and the liabilities that certainly resignation does not exonerate anyone from. I would propose, if this is to be a full Section 15A inquiry, that it cannot begin with just two members of the board. I assume that you would want to ask the questions of the entire board. I would therefore propose that we have any discussion that you may wish to have with us as members of the board of how the crisis in the SADC could be swiftly resolved in terms of the membership of the board, as you said in your letter, but that the questions around the inquiry and the issues of the inquiry be properly and legally formulated for our input in a considered way next week or whenever the earliest opportunity. I do think the issues of the inquiry and the immediate addressing of the crisis the board is in, and let me say that my understanding is that with the resignation of the three board members that resigned together and effectively resulted in there being no quorum for decision making in the body, that the board is dissolved, that the board has collapsed. And I would urge this committee as quickly as possible to find a resolution to that. I don't think, however, the terms for an inquiry are properly framed here, nor do I think we've been given adequate notice to prepare a meaningful outcome to that inquiry. I think there are a lot more public interest issues at stake than simply the financial crisis in the public broadcast, and I shouldn't say simply because it is a serious matter. But I don't think those can be addressed by two members of the board on very short notice without a clear indication of what the charges or the allegations of the inquiry are. Thank you and good afternoon. My apologies that I was a little bit late and I didn't fly on chewing gum. I managed to get an essay. Just to say, Chairperson, I had put my response in writing to you because I was concerned that I might not arrive by 2 o'clock today. That was emailed to you. And my response was directly with regard to the letter you had sent us where you actually questioned the issue of the legality of the board. And quite simply put, as already indicated, we do not form a quorum. Both the chairperson and the deputy chairperson have resigned, and we need to be very clear to record this correctly that the chairperson had actually stepped down from being chairperson, but did not resign as being a board member. And with yourself, a quorum of 9 people, which is required by law for a meeting to proceed, which needs to include a chair or a deputy chair, simply cannot happen. So simply put, it has been, I think, the media, members of committees, board, executive, everybody's understanding that that is a resolution. We simply cannot proceed. You've also, in your letter, spoken to your looking forward to the SABC delegation, and I had put out clearly that We did not have an opportunity to discuss or meet prior to today. We did get this late notification. And I am here under great duress, of course, because I do have a day job as well, and managed to get here to understand what the procedure would be in terms of the inquiry that you are now initiating, what those steps would be, and how people are given adequate time to present and prepare. I want to thank the committee members for seeing that more holistically and in a more structured and thorough manner, because I think it would be rather unfair to ask me, myself, Nadia Bulbulya, what I think of all manner of things. I'm still a member of the board until there is a proper notice put in terms of the formal dissolution and the procedure to appoint an interim board. So that said, I just wanted to put on record that I had, in fact, in writing, responded to your letter, but I am here today and look forward to what it is you will be requiring of the full board to come and report to. I also, as far as I'm concerned, my understanding is that until board members who have resigned were given a shortened period, in fact, in terms of the notice, they in fact have to adhere to the full 3 months notice period, which raises all sorts of manner of questions with regard to people who have recently resigned in their three months, or with regard to Christine Kunta, with regard to Padilla Lahadin, etc. So I think those are critical issues that we need to, you know, deal with, bite the bullet on, make a decision, and move forward. I think it's no secret, especially seeing the many faces that we have known along with industry for over a decade, that we support the public institutions and what they stand for, that we have put ourselves up in terms of a public process when you were actually nominated to eventually sit as board members, and we're here to respond. I think that we're duty-bound, but I would like for it to be put in the correct context in terms of what we will be responding to. I hope that's fine.
Any response to Mr. van der Berg's question?
Chairperson, as I said, I think by responding to one person's question, we are then going to be, you know, we're required to respond to a whole lot of questions, which I don't think we're either prepared or probably fair to make without other board members present. The board does not act as a single entity. We, of course, take collective responsibility for the outcomes of the board. But the record of the board will show that the board is made up of a, you know, litany of dissenting votes on all sorts of critical issues. So I don't think, you know, I could give you what my view on that is. And that might be very different from somebody else who may want to respond to that. So I really think a serious inquiry into the crisis in the SABC, into the contradictions in the funding model, and into a resolution that will see an interim board swiftly in place, really need to be considered. I don't think in the appeals for the instant resignation of board members over the last few months, that really people have considered what the implications of that would have been or will be in the light of a number of critical issues that are going on in the country, not just now, but in the future. If the board does not function, the SABC does not function, the legal constraints or protections on its own statutes and, of course, PMSA, you know, if the board does not meet or if it collapses as a result of an absence of sufficient members as we've got, the SABC literally grinds to a halt. The incomplete audit process that members have resigned of this, the budgetary approvals to pay the salary increases that are being requested, the approval for the critical 2010 capital expenditures that have to start, otherwise we're not going to meet those deadlines. And of course, most pressingly, addressing this liquidity crisis will allow us to find the funds to pay independent producers and address a lot of the immediate crises that are facing us are simply in abeyance without the board. It was this commitment to keeping the SABC ticking over, even if it meant dealing with the fallout of decisions that we may or may not personally have supported, that has compelled us to remain so far. I think we're very keen to find a solution that would allow us to feel comfortable about our fiduciary responsibilities and indeed liability, while this matter is addressed. We don't just want to abdicate those responsibilities. We want a clean transition. We want something that will allow this precious, damaged institution to actually function, which it is not at the moment.
I think when the two members speak, the board members, without trying to answer and saying they don't want to answer questions, they've given us all the reasons in their answers today why they have a huge problem and why we have to should have acted a week ago, not now. In their own answers they've given us. So I think we must be very clear. The Act was passed recently. That sets the parameters of this inquiry. I'm not sure what you're talking about, the accusations you want, the paper that you... It's simple. The Act says there are three grounds on which we can remove the board or not remove the board. And that's what we've asked you to come and answer. Firstly, you're discharging your fiduciary duties. Now, we can spell out, we can go and look at all the accusations of the unions, we can go and look at the accusations of the CEO against the board, we can take all those things, list them, and it's okay, that's not how the inquiry is going to work, because what we're going to do is we have to get one group of information against another group of information. The inquiries that we're holding, and we decided upon yesterday, was clearly to bring you here as a board, because we thought that you're going to be here, seeing as you're going to appear in front of this parliament today. Clearly we were mistaken in that. Now only two of you have arrived. But the inquiry has to continue because all the reasons you've given us, it actually just makes it worse that a board member is telling us that there's a total collapse, that there is no board. And those are the issues, in fact, which we said we will start looking at today. Today, we will start looking at the dysfunctionality so that we get an understanding of it. We then said that at the end of the day, we'll look at what we must further do. Now, we've been overtaken with that because some people say they want to come next week, so clearly, that is what we're going to have to do. But the point of the matter is, at the very least, these are the three issues that we've asked you, and we've written in the letter, that it's an inquiry in terms of Section 15, and those are the three things that the board, we want to ask you about. And if there's a finding by this committee, through a vote after however long the inquiry takes, that there's been fault there, then clearly we can decide the one way or the other way and so on. Now, there is no easy way to start that process. And the suggestion that Professor Gill was making is wrong. We are starting this inquiry today, and we're going to go ahead today, because there's no guarantee that except the two people say they're coming next week, the rest are going to arrive next week. So what are we going to do? Keep on waiting till the board decides that they do want to come or not, when most of them have resigned. So clearly that's wrong, and that's not in line with us. So I think what we need to do, I quite agree with you, Professor Gilwald. If I were to ask you a particular question that would be totally unfair for you to have prepared today, then clearly you should say, well, I'm not ready for it, and we'll wait for another time. And if any of us do that, I'm sure the chair will intervene and say no. But there are basic things that we have to find out. And we can only find out from you because everyone writes the newspaper, they write a different article. We need to find out to what extent were you going to answer it, or whether the executive is going to answer it, doesn't matter. But we need to find out certain things, how that board is functioning or not. When last did they meet? Who is still there? Because we've got a list and so on. So these are the questions we need to start engaging on, I would suggest, Chair. And if Ms. Professor Gilwald or any member, in fact, here feel that they're not prepared on a particular question, I've got no problem to say I'm not ready on that issue. But the fact of the matter, we need to go ahead. There is a huge crisis. I mean, you yourself say that board doesn't exist. The board is the accounting officer of the board. If it doesn't operate, it means there is no accounting officer at the moment. How do we as Parliament sit here and say, well, we'll wait for another week, when we know there's no accounting officer actually dealing with the finances and everyone telling us there's huge stealing taking place and so on? We can't do that. We have to start that inquiry. So I would urge, let us go ahead. If we ask questions that anyone feels they do not want to, or are not ready to ask, tell us, and we can ask that question next week when you are here. But let us at least find out certain things, Chair. The dysfunctionality, for example, of the board. How deep is this? And there are members here, the CEO, the operating officer, and the CFO, who are part of the board. They can tell us what's happening there. And let us go ahead with those questions. And where there's unfair questions, well, we'll hold it till next week.
Chairperson, I just need some clarity. Do I understand you correctly? There are two items on the agenda today. The one is the inquiry, and the other one is the presentation by the SABC board. You have put the inquiry as number one on the agenda. May I suggest that we turn this around? Let's go to that presentation that they were supposed to be giving to us today, and then thereafter we go into the inquiry. I tell you why, Chairperson, because I've read this document, and there are a number of issues here that can justify an inquiry just based on that presentation that they're going to make to us today. So we will have some construction in the meeting that can guide us. So I will appeal to you, Chairperson, to structure the meeting that we do that first and then the inquiry. Thank you.
Now, let me say that the inquiry has already started, and I think we should proceed in this way. And if we have to adjourn so that we give other members a chance, that's fine. I want to just from my side, I mean, there is no established procedure in Parliament for the conducting of this inquiry because this amendment was already passed in March this year. Okay. If you are not a legal entity at the moment as a board, you say the board has collapsed. When you come next week, you can't come as a board. You can meet. You can have a caucus of the board. But there's no decision of that board that you can take is binding on anybody. So ultimately, you'll come as a caucus, but you will speak in your individual capacities as board members. And we don't want one view to emerge from the board. Previously, we used to have a situation where when we pose questions, only the chairperson of the board answers. And everybody sits at us because you can't contradict the chairperson. Here, we want to understand what went wrong. And if you don't give us the information of what's right and what's working and what's wrong, you're not going to help this committee to arrive at a fair decision. So individual board members will have to explain. I mean, I've seen this article in Christine Kunkra in the Guardian. She still says she's the deputy chairperson of the board. It's there in the newspaper. Yet you've just told us now that there's no deputy chairperson, she's resigned. Has she resigned? Or hasn't she resigned? You need to tell us what's your understanding. Because her understanding, she signs up her article, and she's the deputy chairperson of the board. But she has to come and explain why she still thinks she's the legitimate deputy chairperson. If she is the legitimate deputy chairperson, why did you bother to appoint an interim chairperson in the form of Mr. Ashwin Sikkimji? So you like to understand that. So I don't think you're going to have a collective view here. In her article, she says that the former chairperson has resigned. Yes, she stepped down, but she hasn't officially informed the president of her resignation. Just what does it mean? Has she resigned or hasn't she resigned? As board members, you'll have to come and explain that to us. So I don't think that we must come here and believe that we're going to have one collective view on every item. So we put a set of questions to you, and then you respond as a board. I don't think I mean, that might be one of, but it's not going to be helpful for us to arrive at a decision here. So, I'm quite clear we want to proceed with this thing, and we are proceeding. The two of you must answer as best as you can. If you need time for further, more considered responses, when we reconvene, we'll give you that opportunity. But I think we're going to take each member of the board, and we're going to put questions to them as individuals, ultimately. Because this thing is a dysfunctional board. As far as we are concerned, it's dysfunctional irrespective of what Ms. Kunta said in her article. It is not functioning anymore. Okay, so I've got hands there. Ms. Killian.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I would just like to inquire a little further. If I understand correctly, it's the Act says that if you resign, you have a 3-month period to still serve. Now that brings me to the question, that means the board can still function at present. Because if we look at the dates of the different resignations, it means we have a quorum, we have a problem with a chairperson. Now according to the article in today's newspaper, the chairperson did not resign to the president, and the president appointed that position and should appoint a new chairperson if the chairperson has resigned in terms of the act. So what we have is a situation, and that is what we actually asked for yesterday. What is the legal position? From what I understand at present, we still have a board. We have a problem with a chairperson, and we need it. And in fact, we asked you to inquire from the presidency if he received a letter of resignation, yes or no, so that that would also direct us further. But I would like to make an appeal to say, if the majority in this committee feel that we should proceed, let it be. But I do believe it's not fair, and we must not be seen as Parliament to be part, to be entering a process that is not in accordance with due process. If the two members are here, it would rather be unfair to place them in the hot spot, to put pertinent questions to them. Then we should say, we reconvene, we continue this meeting, we have one more opportunity for the entire board to be present, also those who resigned, to say, what is the position, when last did you meet, what is the current position, because at this stage, we personally, I feel, some of us who are new in this committee, we are at a disadvantage, because the presentation that would have been made today by the SABC would actually have increased our understanding so that we could identify those positions in the SABC that clearly point to a problem with the fiduciary accountability of the institution. In summary, can I just suggest the following? Can we get clarity on the legality of the board? Because it's one thing to say it's functional, functionally illegal, or it's dysfunctional. It could be dysfunctional. But the point is it still legal? Then we must just whip them up and say that this is your problem. You still have a deputy chair. Quorum requires either the chair or the deputy chair to meet with 9 members. That's according to the law. So we must just determine that before we proceed. If the ANC has taken the position today that they want to dissolve this board, not a day later than today, then they must say so. Otherwise, we must have due process in this committee. Because we have laws of the land, and we must respect those. Those acts were passed through Parliament, and we must...
Point of order, sir. Yes, Mr. Pirwani. I'm leading the ANC delegation. I've said we are committed to this process to go on until we find a solution on the current problem. That's why we're entering the inquiry. I'm not sure which ANC we are talking about. She must clarify which ANC. But it's not the ANC which we belong to ourselves if we're here, because that's not our position. It must be decided.
No, it's quite clear. We are not ready for a decision today. So can you proceed with your comments?
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to have confirmation of the ANC's position. Can I just say that what we would insist on is just due process. We want to get to the bottom of all of this, and we want to find a solution. And clearly, new faces on the board will not necessarily change the situation around. So we need to establish what is the extent of, if there is mismanagement, if there is a lack of clarity of responsibility, we need to get to the bottom of all of that. The question, okay.
If you put those questions, it will help us also. The sponsor saying we must have due process, but nobody is defining what the due process should be. We agreed here that we're going to give the board every opportunity, all members of the board, whoever comes here, an opportunity to respond to the questions that we put to them, so that ultimately we will make an assessment. And we make a fair assessment. But put the questions to them. Because this inquiry has already started. It's not about to start. It has started. If you haven't prepared adequately, I suggest that Coke and his team must go and prepare its work and come back better prepared tomorrow. Reverend Grundy.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted, after your intervention, I think that it is fair that we should get a response from board members, because I think you put it straight that we were not looking for a collective response here. Maybe our understanding is that they are both collectively, they are both individually responsible for what has happened to provide us with information as well as collectively. But of course we must recognize that we do not have the full complement of what remains of the board. It would have made our inquiry much better. But what we do have at the moment, let's go on with it. Unfortunately, of course, we have to do so within the strictures of the provisions of Section 15A, according to which this inquiry is proceeding. I come to you, Chair, that you let us proceed so that you make progress.
I saw Mr. Fundament. Do you want to come in, Professor?
Chairperson, I just wanted to respond to your earlier comments and to the Honourable Member who raised the terms under which this is being held. And I understand that you've declared that it is going ahead. I just wanted to say firstly that I was not suggesting that we are not, we did not proceed with it today so that we can caucus or meet with the board or do anything else. You know, there have long been dissenting views on this board. We are quite happy to account as individuals, and that was not the point. The point was to try and have people at the same time so that you could respond to different points that are being made, etc., rather than two people giving a viewpoint and then some points being made later and then possibly not the opportunity to respond. I would also like to say that I respectfully suggest that despite what the Honourable Member DeLange has said about the terms under which it is being held, it is extraordinarily unusual for general terms of this kind to be used in an inquiry. If it is in terms of misconduct, what is misconduct? What are we going to respond to? Or are we only given the opportunity to know what those are when the questions are actually filed? Obviously, the fiduciary responsibility is a more general one. It can accept that there are understood terms in terms of that. So I just wanted to make the point that I think the formulation of this inquiry, the timing, the way in which it's been done is extremely prejudicial. And I would like to reserve all rights. I'm quite happy to respond here. I would like a resolution of this matter, as I've said several times before. I would just like to say then, if we are going to proceed, and I have said often that we accept collective responsibility for many things that, you know, are not necessarily personally endorsed, but that is the outcome of the board. You accept that as a board member. I would also like to respond though to the points that were being made about this committee. And I would actually, with respect, like this committee to take some of the responsibility for the crisis that the public broadcaster is in today. It was this committee that appointed that board. It was this committee that shamefully pointed fingers at each other in Parliament last year about, well, how people are coming to come onto this board or not. And there was no responsibility taken for that. For the disrespect it brought to this Parliament, to the people that it appointed, and indeed to the hard-fought-for public processes, democratic processes. I'm not sure why any self-respecting person would make themselves available for public office when the committee, the Parliament that has appointed them, are unable to defend them or indeed find their appointments indefensible. Having said that, I would just want to say that I accept responsibility. I would like to account as I can, and I would like this to be resolved as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify something because I had, you know, put it on record that I had said, absolutely in terms of the law, there's a 3-month notice. To my knowledge, that has not been shortened for any of the members who have resigned. Now, if I'm misunderstanding that, then I think we need to know if there was a shortened period provided for anybody, and if that means that they are, with immediate effect, no longer board members. I think the short answers to those perhaps are required. And I think that therefore we are sitting in this very difficult and challenging position of what is the current status. Because quite frankly, if people are still serving out their notice, they still have responsibilities. And that's the simple short view that I have on that. But I would like to know if people were granted, you know, immediate resignation rights or what had happened. I don't know. I don't have that information.
Advocate Kilanga, and then
I want to again reiterate for those that weren't here and if the letter is not clear, because it seems that some members in the committee are now changing their view. The decision we've taken is not to act against any individual member of the board. Because if we were to do so, we'll have to make a value judgment on which ones of them were wrong or right, and then we would have to institute a disciplinary proceeding in terms of Section 15 and so on. We've made it very clear, and I want to say again, we're acting in terms of Section 15A(b). That's the clause that we agreed to yesterday. That is what the letter tells you. And what that clause says is that that the National Assembly may, after due inquiry and by the adoption of a resolution, recommend the dissolution of the board if it fails in any way on the following: discharging its fiduciary duties, adhering to the charter, and carrying out its duties as contemplated Section 1311. As a collective, not as individual members. That is what the Act allows us, and that is what we're busy doing. To see collectively to what extent is this board has either failed to do those, and obviously if it's a material breach of it, then clearly we'd make one decision. If it's not a material breach, then one would make another decision after having heard all that evidence. Now the point of the matter is, you either force us to divide this committee and the House on the issue up front by following an inquiry process where we bring accusers here to accuse individuals and so on, which is the documentation we've received. Now, we've tried to avoid that by bringing you collectively here to firstly find out, is the structure functional or not? And then clearly to see if you are adhering to those three functions. Not that you create any misconduct. This is not a misconduct proceeding. Misconduct proceedings are if you want to act against an individual board member, we would have to institute a disciplinary proceeding against you. We have never asked for that. No one in this committee has asked for that. We've also agreed that the way to do it is a way which is not divisive, and that is to try and see to what extent this board is functioning and so on, and seeing to what extent they're adhering to this duty. It may out of that evidence be quite clear to us that it's working wonderfully well, that in fact there's a big smear campaign against the board, and that we should actually side with you and try and strengthen your hand in the process. I think we've gone too far down the line with everyone resigning, but that could be an outcome of the inquiry. So, I think we must be very clear. It's those three issues. The fiduciary duties of the board as a collective, which included an accounting duty, and all the fiduciary duties which someone has kindly set down in a two-page document for us, all the things you should have been doing, and whether you have done it or not. We have to hear whether you've done it or not, as a board. And it's in terms of those. It's not in terms of individuals. You keep saying, I want to hear what is the misconduct that you're accusing of. We're not accusing you of any misconduct. We're looking to you as a board, as a collective, on the basis of these three sections in the Act. That is what the inquiry is about. That is what the Act tells us how we must do it. It's not that we've chosen. The Act says that's what we must do when we want to look collectively at your accountability. It only gives us the right to look at those three issues. It doesn't give us the right to look at anything else. And that is what the inquiry is about, and that's what the letter was about. And therefore, this is not a process we're going to have a quick fix answer to it. There's a process we're going to have to engage you on. If someone says to us, you didn't do this, half the board says we did, the other half says you didn't, we have to try and find a solution to that answer, whether you have complied with your fiduciary duty. And that is why you should be here collectively. Collectively in the sense that we are looking at all of you. The particular four we're looking at are the ones that are staying, but clearly the others are still in the process of leaving. They're not yet with a three-month period. So, I don't know why there's not clarity on this. I mean, there should be complete clarity that is, we're acting straight. We've not taken one word that is not in the Act. to try exactly adhere to the Act and the due processes in this Act. And for us to hear that information and then to come to conclusions, whatever they may be. If you're asking us to do it in any other way, you will be asking us to actually divide on this issue in the country. Because we're going to have to set you up against each other to try and get this. And we're trying to avoid it. Please, we're trying to avoid to do this in a messy way. We're trying to come to a conclusion on these things properly. And the first thing we need to do is to see whether you can function legally. Even you've now told us you can't because of the funny quorum requirement we have in this Act, which is very unusual. You just cannot function. You cannot make decisions. It means we don't have an accounting structure. It means everyone telling us there's 800 million debts, which is actually piling up and getting more at the moment. And we have a responsibility to put an end to that, one way or the other. So I want you, if anyone is unclear what this inquiry is, all the parties yesterday agreed to this inquiry. And that's what it is. We stuck 100% to the wording of the Act, and that is what we're expecting the board to come and answer.
Can I give Ms. Madibuko a chance? She hasn't spoken yet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I'd like to inquire the extent to which we can refer to this as a due inquiry when only two members of the board, 12, are present. I understand that four are the only remaining members and some have 3 months' notices to serve, but Advocate DeLange has rightly pointed out that this is a decision about the board as a collective. He said collective a number of times, yet we have only two people present here today. How can we refer to this as a due inquiry? And Mr. Chairperson, I agree, we agreed to come here and go into the inquiry as to whether we need to have a further inquiry. But the fact of the matter is we don't actually have a collective in front of us today. We have two people present. We're asking them, in fact, to account individually, which actually goes to 15(1)(a) and not B. And Advocate DeLange, as I said, has referred to them as a collective. And we've heard from our two board members that they're dissenting views. Why now can we push forward today decisively and determinedly in the belief that this constitutes a due inquiry? I don't believe it does. I think that we need to give them more time to collect themselves, come through next week, and actually appear as a board, as a collective, and account to us as a collective. I don't think having two people here constitutes a due inquiry process.
Kulwani?
Can someone help me, Chair? I'm trying to understand some of this, following some of this argument. Chair, is it not possible that someone here can tell us when last did the board make? You see, Chair, when they make their presentation, they are saying they are unable to do other things. On the other hand, there is the issue of 3 months. Why they are not meeting? Why they are not taking decision? Why they are not paying the IPO? Because they are saying there is a board existing. Why they are not meeting and exercising their fiduciary duties? When last did they meet? As a board. If they are not meeting, why they are not meeting? So that, Chair, we clear this issue of whether we have a board or not once and for all. If maybe someone can just do that simple thing, when last did they meet as a board in taking decision? Because it will mean, Chair, it's deliberate not to pay the IPO. If the assertion is that there is a board which is in place and so on, which is currently carrying their duties, why they are not executing their duties? Because there is a board which is fully operational and so on. Why they are not doing those other things? Then, if the reason why they are not doing those things is because of the problem of the composition of the board current as it stands, what is that problem? I don't think that needs a collective change. We can get those answers, so that's what we want to understand. It does not need a collective. I don't know this issue of now that you can't respond, everyone must come to say that simple matter, because I think it's a simple issue which I'm trying to ask. I'm just asking as a layman. There is no legality in what I'm asking. It's a simple question. Can we get a response? What exactly is happening? Because we end up confusing ourselves.
Right, we've got a direct question. Can I just put my direct question? Is there a chairperson and a deputy chairperson, or isn't there a chairperson and a deputy chairperson?
Chairperson, you know, essentially you're asking us for a view that is either, you know, it's a legal opinion or whatever. Let me tell you how we view this. Firstly, let me just respond to the question about the date of the last functional board, the board meeting. I think it was the 4th of June. The meeting of the 4th of June dealt with a number of pressing issues which faced the SABC. The board also dealt with the issue around the confidence in the chairperson. The appointment of Ashwin Trikamji was to try and resolve a deadlock so that we would be able to continue making the critical decisions that I've referred to. The Articles of Association permit the appointment of a chairperson on a meeting-by-meeting basis, and that was the basis in which he was appointed for that meeting and the basis for which he was requested to speak to both yourself and to the minister, particularly in relation to the liquidity crisis, so that many of the crises we were facing at that time, the salaries and the independent producers, could be addressed. That was the last meeting we had at which we were chorus. I think it was shortly after that that the three members resigned together, we were led to believe that this was an immediate effect. It was only later that it became clear that they could serve a longer period, and that we might be able to get some of these critical approvals through. Our meeting with the minister, with our shareholders at the time, the general view was that effectively the board had collapsed following that meeting, following those resignations, sorry.
Mr. Bouillard,
just to confirm, I mean, we're going around the same territory over and over again, and my understanding is still that none of the board members were given any response to exiting, if you can call it that, before the 3-month notice period is up. That's my understanding. And I'm saying if that's incorrect, we need to know. Because when we talk to the issue of the dysfunction and the collapsing of the board, then it's very clear. Those people have resigned, it's with immediate effect. You are not quorum, you cannot proceed. You are no longer a board. It's simple. What I'm saying, my understanding is they were not given any specific exigency, or call it what you will, to be able to leave with immediate effect. But again, I don't have anything on record.
I think there was a suggestion earlier on that we need to get clarity from the presidency exactly what the dates were and how many of these was with immediate effect. With what I'm understanding means, with immediate effect means from today, excluding the 3-month period. Okay, so we will get that from the presidency as soon as possible. Can I give Mastori a chance?
No, my question is just posed to what the professor just said to us. I wanted to know whether that meeting of the 4th was a legitimate meeting. Was there a chairperson conducting that meeting? Yes.
At the time, the decision on the resignation of the chairperson and the remaining of the board was taken at the end of that meeting. So that meeting was legitimately called, and the decisions taken there, I believe, were legal.
Okay, Mr.
van der Berg,
I come to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I think we're running around in circles now. I think the main object of this committee is, as I said in yesterday's meeting, there's a responsibility on this committee of Parliament to get the things at the SABC on track again. And I think all the political parties want the SABC on track. Of course, it's a national asset. And if I read things like Sentech is not going to cooperate with the SABC anymore because the SABC are not paying. All the producers, they are not being paid. Can you give me clarity, sir? If we try to get a solution today, and I also want to ask Professor Goebbels and as a colleague, Are you prepared to serve further on the board and do your job? As I heard, you are very, very good at your job. This is what I heard. You're still there. And I believe it's like that. Are you prepared to continue your work at the board? And can we get some extra people now? And I'm not sure about the procedure. Get people to serve on the board to have an accounting officer at the SFC. That's the purpose, I think, Mr. Chairperson. That is what we want. Because I don't think we're going to get a lot of answers in this meeting this afternoon. After an hour and more than 25 minutes, we haven't got really an answer except when the last board meeting took place. So we're not. It's like presenting a radio program today, asking questions, and nobody is answering the questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
See, Mr. Panagraf, you're too long as a radio presenter, you see? Now, I think we are making progress. We are also getting clarity amongst ourselves what this exercise is about. And it's a good start to a process. I want to now suggest that I recognize the last round of hands, and then we close this particular part of the agenda. So let me just see who wants to speak. Let me take it this way. Can we go around this way, and then that will be the last, please? Mr. Dunn?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm glad that we are making progress. What I wanted to do, Chairperson, is to put all my questions that I prepared from that presentation and others, put that to the board or part of the board that's here, so that it can be on a record as part of the inquiry. If they are not in a position to give us the answers today, then they can give it to us next week. Because what I think and I fear, Chairperson, is that we go ahead with this inquiry and it end up being just a few issues that's been raised here and there, nothing of substance. So can I go ahead and put all of my questions on the record? And then if they can't answer today, it's also fine with me.
Go ahead, please.
Chairperson, if I can go to the presentation, page 7, where it deals with expenditure. And it says that certain units were overspent on page 7. And then those units are listed on page 16. And maybe they can give us clarity as to why this was overspent. The first one that was overspent is the employees' compensation and benefit expenses, excluding recognition of pension fund surplus and past services. That was overspent. The other one that was overspent was professional and consulting fees by about 32%. And then there's just one item here that says other expenses, also overspent quite a lot. Is there any way that you can get a breakdown of this other expenses? Because it's a big amount that's overspent. Then if I can go to the next point, on page 8 of the presentation, it says that the creditors' terms have come under pressure as cash flow has continued to be constrained. Trading results in the first 2 months show continued slowdown in the economy. Now, my question here, Chairperson, is that the PFMA, the Public Finance Management Act, says, requires that unless otherwise contracted, payments must be made within 30 days of receiving the supplies and the invoice to ensure that the departments are not concealing liabilities. And I want to know why have they contravened the PFMA Act in terms of adhering to the 30-day period? Because they give this as an excuse as part of the cash flow. And then
I also wanted to seek some clarity on the same page, page 8, the austerity measures, high-level summary, where it seems to be they're making an appeal to national government for national government reducing spending in order to pay the creditors. I'm not quite sure what that column means on page 8. Then if I can just quickly go to page 12, under the item financial risk issues, where it says working capital management needed earlier and more aggressive intervention. Now, it refers to operational liquidity, current assets, currently a liability. Again, you know, if we can have a breakdown of, you know, the working capital, and because they say needed earlier and more aggressive intervention, which means that there was no intervention and you have now discovered the problem and you say what was needed then was more aggressive intervention, whatever that's supposed to mean. The last two chairperson is, the last one is on page 17 of the report, Statement of Financial Position. There's a red circle around trades and other receivables, where also it seems to be a massive overspending there. If we can also have clarity on that one. That is out of their presentation. The last one, chairperson, on the 20th of November. First, we asked a question on the 8th of August 2008 about the spending of the SABC members that went overseas for the Olympics. We got a response to say that they spent about 2.7 million rand. We also asked for the reasons as to what the purpose of the delegation was and who the delegation was. We got that response, chairperson, I'll give you a copy. But then we asked a follow-up question on the 20th of November 2008. And we asked for a breakdown of the expenditure and whether some of these members were allowed to take partners with. And yes, all of them did, in fact, you know, take partners with, which they say it's in line with an approved SABC travel policy. I would like to see that travel policy. Because when we ask for the breakdown of the spending per guest, they spend per guest 41,990 for a plane ticket. They spend on accommodation 56,875. They spend on food and drink 14,000 per person, and they spend on entertainment 57,556, and here is the breakdown. Now, how on earth can you spend this kind of money on one trip? But in this also, they promised the minister that all the people who went on this delegation, there are about 10 of them, that they will, because we also asked for reports, where they came back with a report from the trip from Beijing. So far, and the minister then promised that she will send us the report. So far, we've only received 3 reports, and the rest have not even bothered to give reports to Parliament, which makes me wonder whether they gave the report to the minister, because we are still waiting. And those are my set of queries that I want to raise, chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. From the back, anybody questions? Great.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted maybe to just firstly to inform Honourable Berg that if these members have been called here to come and account, they can't just operate under a vacuum, no? But saying we can't just appoint people as if this is a saga. We must be able to find a very legitimate structure. They must come and account. And if they cannot come and account, definitely this committee must take a decision. What I wanted to put forward is that members of the board, they must not come to this committee when they are called and they cannot be able to account. They cannot be ready. Because surely when they come here, including the management, the only they come here, they must come and account. They can't say, want to go and go come. What do they come here for? We are not playing here. They didn't come here just to watch us asking them questions about if we don't come up with any resolution. We don't have enough time. I just wanted to put that clear so that when you come next time, they mustn't tell us that it's still going to caucus, it's going to find what they must come with all documents if they have to bring documents to come and give us. Thank you.
Mr. Kadin, do you want to?
Thank you, Chair. Can I please ask two questions? First of all, could the two board members perhaps just tell us at what stage were they informed of the financial woes of the SABC? Was it when public protests started, or when was the board formally informed? Secondly, could I also ask that we have information from the chief financial officer to say, was the financial department of the SABC convinced last year when the budget was tabled that they would see ends meet, and when did the executive of the board become aware that there was going to be serious challenges and shortcomings, etc., if we could have that. If I could then also ask two board members, just have they so far experienced any pressure from any source to resign as members of the board? And lastly, the two board members, could they perhaps just tell us, the Act provides for freedom of expression and journalistic, creative, and programming independence. Have they at any time become aware of pressures from whatsoever source to dictate to them what sort of policies they have to follow, which would have been the contravention of the Act? Thank you.
Very much, Mr. Manamega.
I suppose we're going to continue with the hearing. So I just want to mention some few points, which I hope that whatever is remaining of the board would look at all of these things, and as we continue, they seriously take all of those things into consideration. The first thing is that there has been, throughout the process, and I think at least until a Supreme Court of Appeal has decided or judged against the board, there's been this determination at all costs, wasting a whole range of money to ensure that the group CEO of the SABC is dismissed. And I think that it's one of the things that the board would really have to, or whatever is the meaning of it, would have to come back and explain to us, because I think it's a major concern, that all of those resources were wasted on that. The second thing is that there has obviously been, on the part of the board, I was quickly going through legislation, and over a very short period of time, the board has been in place now, I think, for 18 months. Over that period, there was a specific period where the board met for close to 20 times, when the maximum time they should be meeting is 6 times. So it basically reflects the crisis mode within which the board finds itself. So I think that's one of the things that would really want an explanation upon. And then the other explanations, which I don't know had an effect or impact on
the board deciding, I mean the chairperson of the board deciding to step down, and then, you know, but remaining as a board member, you know, but there's been stories around excessive expenditure on the part of the chairperson of the board, basically being a almost a full-time, you know, employee of the SABC and all of those things, company cars, security exceeding, you know, the required amount of 40,000, all of those things, and what the role of the board has been. I think that matter, I believe, was also raised at some point here in this portfolio committee. And of course, I think that is quite important, and issues of trips to France and all of that. So that's part of the thing. But then there are also certain instances where the board clearly interfered with what was supposed to be an executive role or function. And I mean, I can go into details with regards to all of those specific measures. But just on also very broad issues that I think we really need to take into consideration as this due process continues. The one thing is that we've got an 800 million problem in the SABC, and there should be an explanation. There definitely has to be an explanation beyond what would probably be the first paragraph of that explanation. There's an economic recession, therefore. I think there should be other reasons why we've got an 800 million problem at the SABC, and what are the reasons why, you know, there needs to be that intervention. Secondly, the whole issue around the producers not being paid. I think that we really need to get an understanding, you know, and a commitment. Whether on the part of management or on the part of the board, but why that has not been done. You know, there are a whole range of stories about people spending, you know, close to 5 million on forensic audits, on investigating people internally in the SABC, you know, authorized by the chair who has now stepped down, and then amnesia not having stepped down 3 months and all of that, but authorized forensic audit on people in the SABC spending millions of rands, you know, on all of those, when that money could have easily been spent on paying producers who have provided content for the SABC. So that's the second thing. The third thing is the crisis with, you know, the trade unions. What it clearly means is that if the trade unions at the SABC decide to exercise their right to strike, then the entire country is, you know, going to be experiencing a blackout. So we, and that's what you know this board is really need to be thinking about, and coming back when we continue with this process, need to be providing explanation with regards to that. There are a whole range of other issues that I think you know, as we proceed, would really need to get an undertaking. I'm quite worried that yesterday when we had our meeting, we agreed that we're commencing with this process today. Everybody, including and especially the Democratic Alliance and the Congress of the People. Now, I don't know whether the fact that the audience has grown bigger, it therefore means that, you know, both, you know, the Congress of the People and the Democratic Alliance would want to reconsider that which we had agreed in a much more smaller venue yesterday. I don't think that it's fair for us to, you know, playing those particular tricks depending on the size of the audience. We had agreed we're going to continue with this proceeding. We have proceeded with this proceeding, and the intent is, you know, to ensure that we save the SABC, I think that we need to proceed along those lines.
Thank you very much. Is that the last hand? Okay, 1, 2, 3, and really I'm closing after that.
I just wanted to make it quite clear so there's no confusion, there's no obfuscation. When we come back here, I think we said on Tuesday that we will continue with this inquiry. And I want to say again, in terms of Section 15A1B, and the three areas that we will ask questions on to however many board members are here, is the discharging of your fiduciary duties. And in that regard, I'll give you a document which we've listed, a whole list of them, that will at least help you to see where they are, and that will facilitate a quicker process. The adhering to the charter and carrying out the duties contemplated in Section 1311. That will be the broad terms in which we will ask questions. In terms of that, over and above the fiduciary duties, Mr. Lill has raised, and Mr. Manamela and others have raised, a whole lot of issues around the finances. But we would particularly be asking questions because the SABC board is a funny animal. Its accounting officer is the board. So everything in the PFMA Act, you are accountable for. So there will be extensive questions on the PFMA Act and your compliance of that, plus whatever, all the issues Mr. Lill and others have raised in terms of the finances. I think that will be a big focus on what we would be asking. Then I think it's important that we also will ask you questions on the Deloitte and Touche report. In many respects, this report is quite damning in its own right, and I think you should have a chance to respond to it so we can see to what extent a forensic inquiry that's already taken place. Well, that's not a forensic one. It's an inquiry into governance, not a forensic one, which shows a whole lot of weaknesses that you should respond on that. Then Mr. Lill has already pointed out your own inputs on the board and the weaknesses there. But I would also suggest we will be asking questions extensively from this document that has been handed in by the three unions. They raise many, many serious problems in the board, in the SABC, and we would want to question that. And then, of course, something that worries me terribly, not knowing this area well, I do understand that you do not act under a shareholders' compact since March of this year. That no shareholders' compact has been signed between government and the SABC board, which is a huge problem, and we'll have to go extensively into that, the reasons for it, and basically avoiding the kind of responsibilities and accountabilities that come out of that. I want to say again, the three issues are the ones in the Act. But these are some of the issues that we'd be raising next time, and we'd be expecting answers, without going into any of the detail now, but at least so that people can prepare properly if they haven't prepared previously. I'm sure there's others, all the other documents have been handed to us. You will also be given copies of that, so I'm not going to list all of them. But I have listed the ones that I felt are important that we will definitely engage you on as a committee. Thank you. Can I just say, the other thing I'm worried about, we don't want to come here Tuesday and the other board members are not here. And they tell us they didn't receive invites and so on. So I wanted to suggest that Parliament needs to take the responsibility, if we can today, or at least at the latest tomorrow morning, to invite each and every one of those board members personally, so no one can come and say they didn't get personal notice of the meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever we're going to continue with these. I would suggest we do it like that and not leave the responsibility to the SABC, because, you know, we're going to have the problem we've had, where people say, well, we didn't receive it, or something disappeared in the post and so on. I think we personally should invite them and say, there's this inquiry in terms of the Act, and we expect you to be here, even if you've resigned, but it hasn't said that. So I want to propose that as well, sir.
Thank you. The company secretary can give us all the email addresses and contact details before we leave today, so that we can extend that invitation. Mr. Mkhize?
Thanks, Chair, but I'm partly covered by Honorable Delange. But my question, at least one question, is that since June 4, because they said that was the last board meeting. From June 4 up until today, what the board is doing, if they are saying, given the other 12
board members are still part of the board members and the board is there and things like that. What the board is doing in attending to the challenges that are there in the SABC, and if they are doing nothing or they are not assisting in addressing those challenges. So with this current situation, I'll put to them, do they think that they will be able to save the SABC or address challenges or crises within SABC with this current situation where only four members that are there and things like that? And that's my concern and that's my question, Chair. But I will not also ask other questions because I was also concerned about the view that they were not prepared, they were not given enough time to prepare for this meeting. But if you look at this report, maybe we'll ask on Tuesday, even in the findings of the Deloitte and Touch, they said they always attend their meeting unprepared. So it's not a new thing here, or it's not a first thing. It's a normal thing that it always takes place within the SABC board. But we'll deal with that on Tuesday. But yeah, no, thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Before I ask my question, I do have a question for the two board members. I'd just like to place on record that we did express our reservations about this inquiry yesterday. And I take exception to the idea that we simply agreed to it. We did mention that there were two options on the table. The first was to restore the quorum by electing another chairperson. I mentioned that there may have been an option that was available to the president. And Mr. Vardy, you told me yourself, sir, that we should obtain legal opinion. So the idea that we blithely agreed to this today is a little disingenuous. We did express reservations, but we are here today. And I wanted to ask the board members who are present today, how many times, and I know, Honourable Chairperson, that you said we're a new committee, but I think the activities of the previous committee actually have a huge bearing on this, on this issue. And we need to actually interrogate the question of how many times the board attempted to, or in fact did manage to, inform this committee in Parliament about the financial problems that the SABC was experiencing. So I'd like to get some clarity on that, exact dates, when the issue was raised, when it was on the agenda, how many times it happened during the last Parliament after this new board was appointed by the previous Parliamentary Committee, and whether these issues were discussed in committee. If they weren't discussed, what was the reason? And if they were postponed, did they end up being brought up later? I just want to know how many times the board came to Parliament and said the SABC is in a financial crisis and actually executed their fiduciary duties in that regard. Thank you.
That's the last question. May I? You want to ask a question?
I just wanted to know that given the questions that have been asked, whether, you know, the responses were going to be given now or not. I wanted to raise other issues. I just feel that as management as well, you know, we need to engage this committee in terms of all the other critical things that are happening within the organization. I thought my colleagues would have raised that. It is true, as Professor Kilwell has said, the meeting took place, the meeting of the board took place on the 4th of June. But that towards the end, it was a long agenda. There are critical issues in terms of the approval of big projects, in terms of our delegation of authority in the organization. There are certain things that have to be approved by the board. And amongst other things, there are huge projects that are supposed to be, you know, like technology projects, and these have to be imported. So it's about the time that will be taken to actually buy those equipment, that equipment from overseas. So I just wanted to impress upon this committee that much as the inquiry is continuing and the board members, you know, have to come back, we do have critical issues in the organization. One committee member spoke about the independent producers, you know,
back to the issue of the delegation of authority. There are levels up to which management has to approve. Beyond that, it becomes a problem. And we have to process those approvals in good time, because it's about the time that, producers have to start filming or going into full production. So, much as there are all these issues here inside the organization and in the interest of that organization, really, there are pressing issues for us that could end up frustrating the way we have to operate and to deliver. The very issue on the unions, as you know, is a mandate from the board, and that's where we have to get authority from. So if the process continues, these things should be kept in mind, that back at the SABC, there are all these challenges, and then it end up once more in the papers, because it's about people's livelihoods, it's about how they have to make money out of the work they're doing for the SABC.
Magali, do you want to pose a question?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to place on record, Chairperson, because it was said here in this house that as far as the members of the board that are here, as far as they concerned, they still have a full, they still have a full board member. And I just want to say on record that on the 11th of June, there were board members that they've put their resignation and sent it to the president and the minister. So as far as we are concerned, this board, there is no board. There are only two members. Thanks.
I want you to help me also to try and bring this to a close, because we want to get on to the next item on the agenda.
We want to have a
solution.
I was just saying that most people have indicated which documents they might want to look at next week, so that there is no problem of saying people that didn't know to be prepared. There is one document. I'm not sure whether it leaked or was deliberately put in newspapers, the letter from Peggy Kumalo, the board member, which has part of the step down of the chapter emanated from that particular document, with a lot of issues, some of them direct to the chairperson activities, in terms of financial issues and so on, which I think we need also to be catered, need to be responded to. The reason I'm raising that chair is because we want to know that the board is exercising their fiduciary responsibility. What has been their decision around those direct issues linked to the chairperson of going out of the parameters of the corporate governance and also how to stand within the organization? As the board, how did they deal with that particular matter? So that I'm raising that chair so that when they come next week, we are going to retrieve that document. They must be able to respond as a board around a particular matter. Because to me, Chair, that was part of the issue. As in the newspapers indicating that Peggy Kumalo was going to raise supporting the step down of the chairperson. And did that happen? So if that document was not the one that was sent to the step down of the chairperson, then they will be able to say so. If it's true what is contained in that particular document, then they must be able to tell us how did they resolve those matters, because we are talking about a huge amount which has been spent without allegedly, without proper authorization in the organization. Thank you.
All right. Mastomi, I saw your finger going up.
Finger? Okay. It was meant to be a hand. Chairperson, you know I am bothered by, some utterances that are not clarified. When the board members come back, I think I would need the professor to explain why and how
is this committee accused of causing the collapse that we have in this? Because she said partly it's this committee. I don't remember at any stage whereby really we could be accused that this committee is part of it. Maybe she can give me a clarity on that when she comes back, because to me it says a lot of things. And if the media is here and that is, we will leave it like that, it might pose a lot of questions to the public also.
All right, can we you want to all allow, let me give the two members a chance. You are also formerly part of the board, that's the acting group CEO, the CFO. Is Mr. Ngwebe, Chief Operating Officer? Oh, is it acting? Okay. So you are also members of the board, as I understand it, so I'll give you an opportunity to respond to whatever you wish to respond. And then I'll allow Mr. Sitole, because his hand has been up for quite some time or so. Ms. Bulbulia, Professor?
Thank you, Chairperson. There's been a whole long list of matters that require responses, and I think that's given you time, certainly, and presentation next week, if that's what's been agreed, that I'd be able to apply my mind and respond to those. I hope that's all right, because I think, and my apologies, I thought when I'd arrived that the presentation was already done in the morning, and thought that the session was particularly on this Section 15 matter, but clearly the presentation itself was not done, so I think that perhaps if one had gone through the presentation, some of the issues might have also been addressed. But I hope that I'll be given due time. I also need to perhaps just, because there is this opportunity and knowing that there are new members on this committee, is perhaps to gently suggest to people that it is important to look back at the history of the institution itself, and particularly to look at what was called the Triple Inquiry Report that was done in 1995 by the former Broadcasting Authority on the viability and sustainability of a public broadcaster, and what was recommended at the time to Parliament, and obviously not accepted by the regulator at the time, to the various different leaders who ran the public broadcaster, to the various consultants and their particular interventions and recommendations on what needed to happen, that has resulted to some degree, to the point we are at in terms of independent production and the level at which the SABC outsources to independent producers, etc. I think then to really look more holistically at the issue, the structural, financial and other key and critical, matters that do face this public institution, I urge members to try to take that historic step and look at it and try to put together the pieces of that big puzzle. Because I think that when you say, how did we get here, I think there's been a long history in terms of how we did get here. And we cannot deny that. I don't think that would be fair. But I do thank you for the opportunity and will try to put to coherent responses by next week.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think the specific points that were raised by the Honourable Member DeLille, it might be useful in the presentation if the Chief Financial Officer could address some of those. There are obviously wider board issues as well, but I think the explanations on some of the specifics would be most appropriate in that presentation, and perhaps if I could request that the CSO would undertake to respond to those, then it might make more sense. There are so many points here, and obviously some of them will require a more detailed response. I just wanted to come back and say again, because it doesn't seem to, I obviously wasn't here the first time, there is no caucusing happening on this board. There was no request to go back and caucus. The request was to have time to prepare on the basis of a set of questions, and I think it's been very useful to get the documentation and get a sense of where the questions are going. There was also the ongoing question about the this board being able to operate with the assumption that this board is trying to operate under these circumstances. Since the stepping down of the three members and subsequently more members, this board has not met as a board. The understanding is that it doesn't have a quorum and it cannot meet. if there was some way that it could meet, if only to address the pressing issues that have been raised by myself and the chief operating officer, you know, that would be a solution, but it's not an assumption we've made. As I said, there were attempts to try and keep the body ticking over with the appointment of an acting chair on a meeting-by-meeting basis, and that was basically rejected in terms of various legal opinions of this body and elsewhere. I must say, one cannot help but take exception to broad statements that the board is unprepared. I realize they're in the Deloitte and Touche report, which I was not ever requested to be interviewed for or interviewed for. When one has devoted as much time as one has over the last 6 years, I have been fully prepared for every board meeting that I've attended. And I'm quite happy to account for the decisions I've made and for the minister that will reveal what's taken place. Just in terms of the broader fiduciary responsibilities arising from the Honourable Member DeLille's questions, I just want to point out that the financial crisis on the SABC has been at the top of this board's agenda since the new board more or less started. The board was immediately presented with the first budget, which included the proposal for a 600 million deficit budget. I think it was 600, as I recall. And the board was very clear that it without guarantees that we were receiving that money, we could not accept that budget. I have not sat on the financial committee of this board, but I've sat in on a lot of the meetings, and obviously there have been presentations for the budget purposes and audit purposes on the general finances. Those have been scrutinized extremely closely. The various measures that have been put in place have resulted in many cases from members, particularly members of the Financial Committee, scrutinizing figures, asking for, in fact, many of the questions you've raised, a spelling out of the experts, the broad categories that were there. Lack of clarity around the number of personnel in the organization, the number of freelancers, and figures that seem to be shifting between those two. The voluntary payments to the pension scheme. There are a whole range of things that the board has engaged very, very closely on a financial level to reduce that 600 million budget. I should add that the 600 million budget was a response to the extended mandate of the board. The regulator has, quite rightfully from a regulatory point of view, placed on the public broadcaster what are costly, I'm not saying onerous or wrong, but costly production requirements. The activity work that we've had to put into to prepare for DTT, for the digital terrestrial transmission, in broadcasting the migration to that, has been costly. The preparation for it, we're still asking for the money to do it, but the preparation for it, the preparing of content and the technology plan, etc., are extremely costly. So there are a number of things that can explain it. That is not to suggest that that explains everything. There were questions around the bloatedness of the organization. There were questions about people that may not even exist in the organization. All of these have been scrutinized, and hopefully some of those questions that were raised by this board will be addressed in the presentation that is made by the management. There are other things that relate to wider issues beyond the finances, and particularly perhaps to provide greater clarity for the statement that I think this portfolio committee bears some of the responsibility for the crisis we're in. Not all, mind you. And I just wanted to say it's very difficult to separate out these issues, but they should be. I think the problem with a lot of what we're trying to deal with here is the conflation of the genuine crisis in the funding model, which this committee has been made aware of for as long as I've been on the board, and I certainly know before. I think that the issues are far more complex than the board and the funding crisis, etc. I think the problems are that they become conflated, but they're also linked, so it's difficult not to deal with other issues, you know, when you're trying to deal with a financial situation. I think there's a history to this. What I'm requesting this committee is to assist with a resolution in terms of the responsibility that they take for this. In fact, what has happened now is, in fact, too little, too late. The broadcaster has been left for so long to swing in the wind for this issue to be resolved by some kind of attrition of the board that I don't think those who left to swing in the wind are actually going to have anything to pick up at the end of this process. As I said, one cannot not understand these issues without going back somewhat. And I think one has to look at the fact that, you know, this committee chose to support the reappointment of more than half the previous board. More than half the previous board whose activities, from the blacklisting saga to the removal of the previous CEO, not the CEO, questions of micromanagement, were accounted for to this committee and were overseen by this committee, and people were reappointed. As we agreed with the ongoing report of the financial implications of the funding model, even though we were in a revenue surplus at that time, that a public broadcaster dependent for 85% on commercial revenues was not sustainable in the long term. These have been brought to this committee certainly as long as I have been on the board. So I think the fact that, you know, those people were reappointed, they rightfully assumed that what they'd done before would carry on. And I think one has to, you know, one has to accept responsibility for that, collectively. I mean, I'm part of that. But why one would be surprised that people would act differently from what they have before, when effectively this committee has endorsed the activities and behaviour in the board that went on before. So I don't know where the surprise comes from. I can address the issues around the freedom of expression. I think my dissenting position on the blacklisting is well known, and it was in the media at the time. I also think it's probably known that, you know, I didn't support the dismissal of the CEO. That's not to say that there were not performance issues, etc. There were concerns about the way these things were going to be handled. However, I should say that subsequently, with decisions having been taken, one accepts responsibility for those decisions, which one may or may not have supported. And at a certain point in time, the interests of the organisation have to be put first. And where it does appear that people were willing to really act not in the interest of the SABC in order to secure their personal and private interests, that did raise questions for me about what was really feasible in terms of going ahead. There had been a lot of a breakdown of trust. And basically, this organization is in desperate need of leadership and of management. And I think that was why these millions were spent on defending a process. The decision had been taken, it was instituted. I should point out that only one of the appeals has been heard. There is a much longer process going on there. And I think, you know, there certainly were severe reservations about the money being spent on that decision, and there were questions. Questions about the shareholders' contract, again, I think the people have been aware that that's not been in place. I think people are aware of the situation in the ministry with the resignation of the Director General and with the untimely, unfortunate death of the minister. This should have been done in advance. I think there's no getting away from that. And perhaps the department could actually speak a bit more closely to that, and possibly the chairperson. In response to the question about the allegations to the chairperson, I think there was concern that these allegations needed to be addressed in a proper forum. I think there was concern about the way in which they were raised, and the way in which they found themselves in a public forum. The issue was addressed right at the end of the meeting, by which time Mr. Kumalo left, and there was a view that, that those issues would have to be addressed in future, and indeed the chairperson wished to address them because she felt she wished to clear her name. Unfortunately, as I point out, since then no meeting was held.
Thank you very much. Mr. Sikoli, let me give you, and then I'll give the remaining members of the board here.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to just raise two issues out of concern, which also just to echo what the acting COO was saying. Because we sit here, and as management, we have a job to do. And there are issues that require approval by the board, because we've got limitations on the delegated levels of authority. And that board is not there. And this is these are the issues that the committee needs to take into account, because we have to deliver public value. And if we can't do that with a structure that approves some of the decisions that we make, then we are actually going to be failing the public. And also on the issue whether the board has met and not met, we know for a fact that the very same members who are saying that they are still serving their notice have not come to those board meetings. And anybody who works and serves a notice, you don't serve a notice at home. So I don't know what that means. You know, and I think we need to stand for those issues. We've got long-term decisions that have to be made by any board. And I'm quite worried whether will we ever get to that point whether those issues will ever be made when we have a board that has either resigned or is still in. And I'm asking now, because I am really concerned that we want to get back and work. And at some point in time, we'd like to have our strategy considered by this committee. It was never considered even at the last committee, at the last meeting last year, and we want the board to help us implement those strategies. And now, as a lay person, I'm sitting here, I ask myself one question. There's a due process that has to be followed. It might take 2 weeks, it might take 3 years, and we would not have a board. Is it not possible that this committee can suspend this board pending due process and put an interim board next week? If they are found, as Advocate Lang was saying, not to, then they come back and we work. Right now, we cannot, we are in a state of impasse. Now, if I were to directly request, give us an interim board, and then you can follow the process, it might take as long as it might take. We need a board and we need to work.
Do you want the last word or you want the first word?
No,
let me have the last. So you want the last word. So let me start off with Ms. Kumbela and Timande.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me repeat what I said on the 30th of April last year. Just to say, under normal corporate governance arrangements, once the board and senior management, the rest of the team would ordinarily coerce and go along with their members. But because this is a public entity, I think us in management, as well as those who are remaining on the board, have a responsibility to the 48 million odd citizens of this country to make sure that whatever we do contributes towards the value of what the public service broadcaster does to support democracy. We have a responsibility to sometimes even respond to some of the things that have been said. One, let me, for the benefit of the new members of the committee, put it on record in this committee that as management, some of the managers, amongst them who are here last year on that day, we put it on record and it's on Hansard, and I'm just, it is on Hansard, we put it on record that we ourselves, much as we are executive members of management, we have served on other boards. Never before had we experienced a situation where it was already end of April by then, a board had started on the 29th of January, we had yet to have an opportunity to present the strategy before the board, nor even finish its orientation. And we were already facing a situation of leaked memoranda and rumors where among the corridors that the board was out to fire the CEO. We said on the 30th of April, clearly corporate governance had collapsed right from the beginning, despite the fact that we had at the first session of the orientation invited Justice King to give the orientation to the members of the board. So where we are now, we were absent to the committee. Subsequently, we put it to the then president of the country, as well as the minister, to say there is a problem here. Many people focused on the fact that we were rewriting corporate governance because we were introducing some kind of executive activism that didn't exist. But we wanted to put it on record because we wanted to everybody to remember that when things go wrong, where did they all go wrong? I'm just saying, Chairperson, I would like that initiative acknowledged. The second thing that's worrying me in the responses of the remaining members of the board, at no time have they actually acknowledged, whether individually or are responsible for it or not, they have not accepted the fact that we have had a situation that the board disrupted its own strategy from implementation. I'm hearing this thing that part a big chunk, it's the committee that is responsible. Chairperson, we've had a situation where members of the board stand in front of 125 top managers of the corporation and rubbish the strategy. That is there. That is on record. No lesser a person than a chairperson with nobody rebuking. And that is a matter of a record. So I'm just appealing to the members of the board to say, because this is such an important public entity that is at the heart of supporting democracy, one out of three citizens of this country cannot read or write. They depend entirely on information for their education and for entertainment, SABC. There are times when our own individual egos have to let go and be just citizens of the country and stand up and say, we erred. There is nothing wrong with doing that. And for me, I really want to reiterate that and let it go back on Hansard records that seven members of the executive stood up and said, this is corporate governance gone mad. We're seeing a situation where this corporate governance is going to be rewritten and make Enron look like a picnic. That is what is at the heart of this. The unfortunate thing that this was interpreted in a manner that made it look like political, it is unfortunate. The fact of the matter is we had a situation where the board, right from its inception, made it impossible for the executive management to implement the strategy. Many of the things that now the 800 million is attributable to were largely because of that. They can be traced right through that. And I would really like the members of the committee to consider very seriously the judgment of Thursday that came out of the Supreme Court of Appeals, because in many ways it also begins to put on a public record through a public process some of the things that went terribly wrong at SABC.
Thank you, Mr. Mpofu. He sent me a note that he was unlawfully dismissed in January, but he was accountable as the group CEO up until that date, and he wants an opportunity to speak.
Thank you, sir. I won't be long, given the direction that the meeting is taking. But I did, yes, I wanted to put that on record, that I would be participating. I think already it has been shown that my issue, and particularly when these issues arose last year, I think I won't go to what Pamela has raised, is going to feature in one form or another. I think firstly I want to just support her last point. I think it will help this committee very much if, in addition to the Deloitte document, it has applied to the two court judgments, one of Justice Tsoka last year in May, and the other one of three judges last week, Judges Victor, Horn, and Judge Bain. Those judgments will make your work very easy, because, like Deloitte, these are, some of us might have subjective motives and all sorts of things. These are judges of the court who have no interest in this matter, who have made very important pronouncements as to the issues that Mr. DeLange was talking about, of fiduciary duties, the ability to lead an institution of this kind on the part of the board, and repeatedly, anyone who reads those judgments will see that these issues are confirmed thoroughly in those judgments. But the second issue that I'd like to point out here is that far from this committee being responsible for the mess, I would go as far as to say if anybody, and I'm quite aware, Ms. Mazibuga, that it's a different committee, but I'm using the word, you know, this committee in that context. If anybody should walk out of this whole saga smelling like roses, it is this committee. Because this committee on the 29th of April last year said this board is not functioning. The executives that have been quoted said this board is not functioning 2 weeks later. If the records will show that if those calls had been heeded at that point, I can put money on the block that the mess that we're in now today sitting here would not have occurred. And it's no use to say, no, it was because this committee were the same people who appointed the board. I think that's a futile argument. I mean, does it mean if you appoint somebody and then they mess up in the first week, you cannot get rid of them simply because you are the same person who appointed them? That's, with respect, that doesn't make sense. And the issue is that when this inquiry is finished, it will be clear, as Mr. Peggy Kumalo, one of the board members, has said, that from the inception, this board was responsible for the mess that we find ourselves in. Finally, Chair, I'd simply like to say that, once again, going back to what Mr. DeLange has said, the process of this inquiry cannot go on forever, because I have a direct interest in this matter. I have a matter that is supposed to be filed in the labor court, following from the judgment. Now, if I file that matter for urgent hearing next week, who's going to respond? Who's the board? Who's going to oppose the matter or not oppose it? And some of the issues are going to be canvassed in this particular hearing. And therefore, Chair, I don't want to repeat what Pumelelo said about the urgency. Speaking on the management side, one cannot overemphasize the urgency of the 4,000 to 6,000 workers who are sitting there with and the public institution that is on autopilot, that is no leadership. Those are people who have contracts of employment, let alone the independent producers, let alone the citizens themselves, and so on. So this is not something, this is a real, real crisis, national crisis of the highest magnitude. And if there are ways to follow, for example, of what Mr. Stoller has suggested, to try and put on some interim measures to arrest the problem. Because once someone was talking about legal representation and so on, now, as a trained lawyer myself, let me tell you, once you introduce legal representation, this thing can go on for the next 12 months or 24 months. So what is going to happen in the meantime to this public institution becomes a matter of paramount importance. And maybe, if I may offer free advice, maybe the first thing, which is what you said, Chair, is to find out from those members who have resigned, whether they are resignation is indeed with immediate effect, as some of the letters of the resignation indicated. Because if that is so, then the six members who claim to be still members still do not correct. So we still come to the same result that there's no board and the crisis has to be resolved. As to who is responsible and so on, that matter can be resolved in good time. And I think one of the members yesterday from the IFC even suggested a judicial commission. I think that's fine. We need to look at this thing holistically at some stage. But that must not be confused with the process now of making sure that there is a structure at the SABC, that there is some form of leadership. Because right now anybody can do whatever they like. For the next, in the next 24 hours, I was saying half jokingly, after the judgment of last week, I could have just taken my briefcase and gone to my office. Who was going to stop me? Because there's no board. There's nobody. But I mean, I wouldn't be that irresponsible. I'm just saying that's just one silly example. But so many things like that can happen right now as we are, because we are in a vacuum which cannot be allowed. Thank you.
Then, first, there's a bouquet of roses for you, eh? You should be proud. We saved the day. As much as you didn't believe it last year. Mr. Nicholson.
Thanks, Chair. Mine's going to be very mundane and boring. I just think there are some issues of process and information. If we could get the information requests, the union document, for example, so that we could prepare written responses for next week, Tuesday, it might speed up the process. The other issue for me is that we are in the middle of an audit. We are also quite well advanced and engaged with the National Treasury and the DOC around sorting out the funding issue. And I'd request that if we get into those conversations, that we at least close it down to committee members and management, because those things are sensitive to competitors and the like. It's a request. I do need to understand this question around audit and disclosure information. It's not usual to disclose and discuss the results of your financials. Some of the questions that Mr. Lill has posed require that. So I'd just like some understanding of the process of how we engage. Clearly quite prepared to make all the information available to the committee, but I just want to be clear that we've got the process right around it. Sorry to disappoint you, Chair, but I think it's important.
Okay, we'll come back to this one. Just a moment, Pony.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the Portfolio Committee. I think it's important to say the following. Whether this board remains or not, I think it's important to say the following. The experience that we've seen at SABC demands the following. We need a board that requires or demands accountability from management. That's very important, because if the board fails to do that, it's failing to exercise or implement its fiduciary duties. I'm going to stress a little bit why the board must demand accountability. It shouldn't interfere, because this shouldn't be confused. If you move a step lower than you're supposed to manage the business or have oversight, you are actually interfering with the operations of the business. That shouldn't be. So sometimes in their quest or in their eagerness to actually deal with the matters, rightly or wrongly, probably on the part of the management, not probably providing the very things that they have to, the board tends to operationally get involved. Any board that takes over from SABC must crack the whip, fine. They must demand accountability. They must say to management, this is how we are going to manage you. This is what we expect out of you. This is when we are going to measure you. If you are not implementing, you are not performing this, we will absolutely you will absolutely be dealt with. I think that is not happening. It's a non-executive board that has to be there. It has to manage like that. A lot of confusion has been found because of that interference by the board. So I'm going to reemphasize this because it's important. I see that happening on a daily basis. The board must demand management to be accountable. That's bottom line. Because having said that, there are areas, of course, that are important for management to perform. To a large degree, yes, as non-executives, they must show direction. But also management, at the end of the day, must manage the business. Management shouldn't also abdicate their responsibility of driving the business. And they must be given that space to actually do that. Now you may ask a lot of questions, why are we in this crisis? I mean, there are so many reasons, some of which probably didn't even start 2-3 years ago. They started when we took over as an independent country that institution called SABC. Some of the decisions that were made then, or some of the decisions that were not made then, have actually contributed to this situation. These matters that you see right now, fundamentally, some of them exist then. So when we are going to move forward, we have to take that into consideration. How do we overrun SABC within the realms of a mandatory obligation? Why I'm saying that, Chairperson, is that SABC is constructed like a commercial enterprise, yet it is expected to fulfill its mandatory obligations. It's a firm order. You have to get inside the mind and the psyche of SABC to understand what's going on there. It is just a public broadcaster in word, not in deed. So change the Broadcasting Act, change how the structure of that organization is. Because you'll ever perpetually have these problems where you wonder why things are the way they are at SABC. Give me one public broadcaster that operates like SABC. There isn't none. This schizophrenic structure of wanting to, on one side, to become a commercial enterprise and on the other side, becoming a public broadcaster is actually at the heart of the problem. And any administration that takes over in that business must actually attend to those real issues. You can change CEOs until the cows come home, or management, or even the board, unless you fundamentally change the structure of how that organization works. You'll ever be confronted with these problems. Structurally, it was a recipe for failure, of course. Where have you seen in the world where you have a board whose legitimacy is contested? On one hand, you have acting roles all over the place. The board, the CEO, the acting, or the COO, are the strategic levers of any organization to succeed. Once you have a very weak structure in those three fundamental pillars of an organization, you are asking for disaster in any organization. My plea is to resolve those issues as quickly as possible. You can't have an organization with an acting COO for 2.5 years, an acting CEO for 13, 14 months. It just doesn't work. Let's sort out this problem that we are facing. Key questions. Operating model of SABC. It's not working. We need a new board or whatever board to actually attend into this question. We are living in a converged broadcasting space now. We need to move quickly to address those issues. And those issues will address things like your funding model, your funding mix, and all those sort of things. We can have extended funding, which is important in the short term, but that does not resolve the real challenges that the organization is facing. So my plea to this August forum is that let's act with decisiveness, let's act with passion, and make sure that we save that organization from self-destruct. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
think we've had a very good start to the inquiry, and there's been a healthy airing of views. Can I suggest that we adjourn now this part of the agenda, this inquiry, and that the inquiry will reconvene on Tuesday next week at 10 o'clock at the venue that the committee section will finalize. We would like the company secretary to at least initially start informing the remaining members of the board of this decision. We on our part will also do so, but we think that the normal procedure from your side should also be kept in place.
My understanding is that you're talking about all
12
members.
All 12 members of the board should be invited and should be present.
Including the...
Switch off, sir. Switch off.
That it does not mean the non-advertic only, including the advertic.
The full board. Right. This committee, unfortunately, also has got a cash flow crisis. We can't afford tea and coffee and sandwiches. And I know we're going to be working till quite late into the night because we've still got the board presentation and we've got the cards are waiting in the wings there. So we're going to go on till about 8 o'clock. I think about 8 o'clock. It's almost 5. May I suggest that we have a 15-minute break if you can... Get yourself a cold drink or juice. I don't know if anything is left, but for the time they just said that we don't have anything prepared for dinner. I can't even call it dinner. We don't have a snack prepared. So if you can grab a chocolate or a juice or something, or smoke, and then we can reconvene at 10 past 5. Would that be in order? 10 past 5. Thank you very much. Thank you.